Roll out the red carpet, Nomad of Nowhere fans. Welcome back to the Nomad of Nowhere After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. On this week's Rooster Teeth Reviews, we're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about Don Paragon's winnings, as well as Red Manuel, and we're going to be talking about the heartbreaking relationship between Scout and Toth. Guys, let's get this party started. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's been a day. It's been a day.
I think this is the first time in a while that we've had a just a jerk song choice that wasn't me. Usually I'm the one that picks the songs where everyone goes, ah!
Like, I rewatched the episode, and then I walked away from it and started getting ready for the show, and this was the song that was playing in my head. And I was like, well, that's what we gotta start with.
It's really weird. I don't associate this with Enchanted as much as I do with just World of Color.
I know, right?
So, like, I've listened to that entire show so much more frequently, and have to remember that this was from a movie.
See, for me, it's Kingdom Hearts. But that's my own personal thing.
This was in Kingdom Hearts?
It was not.
Oh. It absolutely should be. I would play right out of that world.
But we don't need that many emotions.
I can't hold that many emotions. If somebody has made an AMV for Kingdom Hearts to this song, go ahead and send it our way.
One further.
That's why I associate it with this. I had plans once upon a time.
No, one further. That's a different franchise. One further. R2 Reviews just predicted Enchanted is going to be a world in Kingdom Hearts 3 that has yet to be announced. And if they do, you come back here and you show everybody this clip. We just did it.
We want the world to know
that
we were there first.
That is a licensing nightmare.
That whole series is a licensing nightmare. Yes. Anyway, hey there, Rooster Teeth fans. Welcome back to the Nomad of Nowhere After Show. Let's not waste any time. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
Yep.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello, hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. And to my roundabout left,
I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews for those of you guys following along on Twitter. We've also got you covered in numerous ways on the live chat. So, hey, everybody watching live, we appreciate you and we love you.
Hello, Cult of Molly Flood.
They may not return without her here.
No.
We guess we just have to get her back in then. So, guys, really quick before we get started, just like always, we are only talking about this week's episode that's available publicly. We're keeping discussion for episode 12 relegated to next week as per the Rooster Teeth community guidelines. So please be cool. No spoilers for people in the live chat. For people who haven't gotten to see it yet. So be cool. Don't be that guy.
I'll ban you.
He'll do it, too.
Yeah.
He will do it.
It's about respect.
Don't test him. That hat might be black and blue, but...
But you will be, too, if you cross me.
Exactly. So, yeah, guys, this is the penultimate episode of the season. What did we think of the red carpet?
I think this has been my favorite episode of the season, honestly.
It's a good one. Yeah. It's got a lot of really great emotional beats. It's got a lot of fun stuff.
It has my favorite emotional beats.
And that's why I'm just like, oh, okay. Yes, this was a really excellent episode. Like, this really secured the Nomad is wonderful. I'm obsessed with Don Paragon in this episode. Obsessed.
He's terrible. It's great.
Oh my gosh, just awful, but in the best way.
They're trampling the begonias? You were right to come to me.
Unbelievable.
I like how obsessed he is. Like, we knew that he was obsessed with himself, but all of the photos on the wall being
him. They're so charming.
Yeah, charming. Sure. Anybody else, imagine somebody in real life that, like, it's one thing to have, like, oh, pictures of your family, pictures of your kids, whatever. But just, like, a series of headshots of themselves. That's different. Like, it's like almost like they're about to leave the room, and you go, "Hey, in case you know somebody, here's my card."
Like in case you meet an agent on your way to go meet El Rey, here's my headshot.
If you meet literally anyone ever, make sure they know who I am.
For me,
boards, of course,
I absolutely loved that. Regarding Don Paragon, we got to see him at fashionably. I would say his best and his worst in like very, very quick succession.
Yeah, gold doesn't work for me. So.
Really? Yeah. The gold outfit didn't work for you?
No.
It was so much better than the cow print.
It sure
which
was.
Who? I thought was hysterical. It was, okay, those were chaps. And he was wearing a gold, I don't know if that was underwear the or cow what, print but there was definitely some pale thigh in there that I did not need.
The cow print was too Cruella de Vil for me. But, Mark, go ahead.
Exactly. No, think about that. People go, oh, Cruella de Vil, whatever. She makes clothing out
she's
of...
She's a fashionista.
She's a fashionista, but she makes clothing out of defenseless animals.
What? But men are defenseless animals.
No. What sort of a message does Don Paragon send to Toro by wearing cow skin?
Oh!
It was a power move. It was a power suit.
I mean, I'm
wearing
think
the
it was,
skin of your brethren.
Yes!
I think it was one of those number two imitates number one things, because also keep in mind, Toro started off as a dude. He may not feel as much connection to cows. If he started off as a cow, there'd be a whole other
but
ball
he's,
of wax.
He's been a bull for hundreds of years at this
Probably.
Point. So, I mean, he's been a bull more than he's been a man.
He's more bull than man now.
Beast Wars fan and Chad goes straight for the Simpsons reference with See My Vest.
See My Vest. Oh, that's what we should have opened with. Oh, now I'm picking
myself. This is perfect.
Yeah. But that's what I thought of the cow. That it was, yeah, it's a joke, but if you go deeper, it was a power move.
Stacey?
I mean, to be fair, yeah, he's kind of, this whole episode too, he's very about that not so passive aggressive power play. And, all right, I can see that in one way.
I love, Mark, that you were able to dig into that very, very quick moment that was, for all intents and purposes, I interpreted as just a kind of throwaway gag.
I'm saying Nerf is 30. If you let me show you my resume. And it's not a piece of paper, it's me scribbled in blood, Nerf is 30 on my hand.
But Paragon, what I got from that is, a Paragon is a poser. We know he is. He has conflated himself. He sees himself as more important than he actually is. And I see the, oh, my governor outfit being, and I'm doing hand motions here and whatnot for those of you watching on video. Great podcasting, right?
Listening on audio.
Shout out
no,
to the
those watching on video can actually see it.
That's what I mean.
Well, we'll dig into more.
The point being, he's trying to be like one of the governors instead of trying to make his own thing. It's my governor outfit. And it's like, you're a Toro knockoff. Sit down.
Well, I guess I hope one day we can do a Who Wore It Better on Nomad. That
you should have
fantastic.
You could have done it today. I would have done a set of I could make that. I'm going to do that right now.
Well, Mark is setting up that graphic. We have a quick announcement for you guys.
No, I was son-of-ing at Eddie Rivas in chat, who called it, quote, a power move.
Oh! And I just want to say real quick, Becca Lee brings up a fun thing in chat before we lose it way up at the top. Begonias are a tropical plant and require a lot of water to keep healthy. People are dying of dehydration, and he's watering the begonias.
Not so passive aggressive power play.
And Eddie,
dang,
and Eddie also says totally a power move.
Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, word of God.
Speaking of power moves, we want you to use your power to help us out, because here at AfterBuzz TV, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to please TV fans. It's us. It's all of us together. We're a family. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels, one of those ones that you heard before, and of course this one right here, AfterBuzz TV Animation. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will help suggest content that is tailor-made to you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you heard about those pesky notifications, they're optional. I mean, we would really appreciate it if you hit that little bell, because that makes sure you know exactly the moment that we go live. But hit that subscribe button regardless for this channel, and check out all of other AfterBuzz TV channels, and let us know you did so in the comments. We will shout you out on air, but for now, thank you for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yeah. And because you are the best fans, and because we adore you, we have something for you. We are doing a giveaway for you guys, thanks to our friends at Verve. They have very kindly provided us with 3 1-month Verve premium codes, which basically cover Funimation, Crunchyroll. It's like having a Rooster Teeth first account, so... For those of you who are going, well, I can't do a first account, you could win a free month of Verve.
You could indeed.
And how is that going to, how can they win?
Well, first I want to tell them a little bit about Verve. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know anything about it. Verve is a leading audience-focused aggregation platform featuring premium SVOD channels including Crunchyroll, Funimation, Drama Fever, Rooster Teeth, and Shudder, alongside a curated house channel, Verve Select. Created to provide fans with a next-gen entertainment experience, Verve offers immersive content experiences in a digitally driven environment via bundled subscription, a la carte subscription, or ad-supported options. As a platform, Verve helps partners, I'm good at this, extend their reach and distribute their premium content through a high-quality branded experience on mobile, web, and popular living room devices. We Chromecast from the app, and the quality is beautiful. So, how you can win, how you can do the thing, is you wander into our hashtag. We're doing this all on Twitter. You use hashtag Verve, VRV. You use hashtag WatchVerve. You, at WatchVerve. Use hashtag RTR giveaway, because that's how we're going to be tracking these. And tell us what show you would watch with a premium Verve account. For me, it's Freakazoid and Legends of the Hidden Temple. And actually, I've been using my Verve premium account to watch Hardcore Tabletop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I marathoned it the other day, and it's amazing.
One episode left, just next week.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hear, first of all, just Rooster Teeth and Crunchyroll and Funimation. All of those are great. I hear Shudder and my heart flutters.
Oh my God. A Shudder flutter.
Yes,
it's like you wrote that.
I can assure you, I definitely didn't.
And I can say, as somebody with no professional attachment to Geek and Sundry and Alpha, they should probably check those channels out through Verve. Catch up on Critical Role. There's a great show, Lore Masters, Asinine Wisdom, Ask Your Black Geek Friend. They've got a bunch of great shows, a comic book club, a book club, a whole bunch of great stuff. And you can watch those through Verve with your 1 month.
So, yeah. So, there will be three winners. We will announce them on next week's show. So, remember, hashtag Verve, hashtag WatchVerve, at WatchVerve, and hashtag RTR giveaway.
Yep.
Do the thing. Win the stuff. Quite literally. Do the thing. Win the stuff.
Are we allowed to enter? I want it.
Didn't you share an account?
Don't tell them that.
Like, it's one thing for me. Like, I work for some of these, for these companies, and I could just be there. But this is... You've got somebody with an account already.
I want to be my own person, Mark.
Is your name Anakin? Give me your thoughts on sand.
I hate sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating.
It's everywhere.
All right, guys, to get back to this show, speaking of sand.
Which has a lot of sand.
Speaking of sand, let's go back to nowhere. So, yeah, last week when the flashback sequence ended and we hard cut to Don Paragon gloating over the Nomad, it was such a disheartening moment. And then that's right where we pick up this episode, with him gloating to the Nomad about not only how he's won, but about how he's going to get magic and basically use his magic to turn Scout into a pinata and explode her. That's, like, guys, I don't know about you, this was such a disheartening way to start the episode.
I was pretty hecked up.
Our villain was being our villain.
I know! Yeah. But it was so fun, but at the same time, I hate to see anything happen to our boy.
It was more of a thing. I would be more worried if he said, you know what? I'm not going to wait till I have powers. I'm just going to string up Scout and beat her to death. That would have been more... This was more Paragon's MO. All talk and with nothing to back it up.
All flair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woo. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was... Honestly, anyone who gloats that much is about to, like, get it turned around on him. But, man, he did some solid gloating. Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, my foe is captured and he can't say anything. Now's the time to monologue!
Mm-hmm. This would be so much better if you could grovel or beg.
Oh, jeez. Like, fun little detail, too. Mark, you noticed all the pictures of himself. I noticed, like, all of the bottles of water just lining the walls, because mm-hmm. as you pointed out, Stacey, or sorry, as you guys pointed out, the flowers require so much water to maintain. Like, he's using water to adorn this room, which for all intents and purposes is a storage room by the look of it.
Mm-hmm. And the bottles, notice they were all different brands. They were all his, but they were all different brands.
Yeah.
Ugh. But we also get a cut to the outside where Toth is returning, and she has to return to the news that not only has the Nomad been captured, but he's been captured by Red Manuel.
I mean, cue the clip because
no, we don't. I'll tell him about it because Jonathan doesn't know that we have a sound.
Oh no! Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
It's fine. I'm gonna text him.
But in this moment, she demands that Don Paragon, you know, uphold his end of the bargain. And he's like, yeah, no. That's not how this works.
Yep. Like, oh, after all, you just weren't first. It's like, wow, that's a lot of loyalty. That's a lot.
It's a great callback. Really terrible thing to tell somebody who can crush you with their bare hands.
Yep.
Man.
I want to dig in a little bit to this moment between the Dandelions and Red Manuel, though. Because this is a moment where Red Manuel thinks he's finally going to get the recognition that he deserves.
That he thinks he deserves.
That he thinks he deserves, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a very important distinction, because he doesn't deserve anyone's respect. But here, they didn't even notice he was gone, or... most of them didn't even notice he was gone.
I thought it was awful quiet.
Mm. I didn't want to jinx it by saying anything.
Yeah.
That's the last time I wish for anything. Like, I just love that they were all like, well, dang, things were better when we thought you were dead.
Well, it sounds like they all got their wish when they said, shut up, Red Manuel.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Red Manuel.
Thank you, man.
Feel free to cue that whenever we talk about him or whenever you think it's comedically appropriate, because chat loves it and so do we.
We never get tired of it.
Understood.
Thank you very much. Now, we talked a little bit about earlier this season about the possibility of Red Manuel.
Shut up, Red Manuel.
You said it.
The possibility of him being self-aware and having the capacity to change. And then after the last episode where he tried to murder Scout, you know, that thought sort of went out the window.
Nope.
There's a moment here where he goes, guys, I have feelings. Feelings too.
Can we put Red Manuel has feelings on the
soundboard?
Thank you. On the soundboard too.
I think
Red
we
Manuel
need
has
it.
Feelings. And that's three.
I think that's like the five. Appropriate response to his line, like at yeah. that moment though. Like,
It was more interesting to see the sort of the hierarchy of the Dandelions, because we've been traveling with our three amigos for so often that we're like, oh, that's just them, and we forget that there's a lot. And
yeah.
How can you, for like, not just in terms of Red Manuel's personality, but in I was ready for it, but in terms of he's one of two people that have almost entirely red outfits.
That's true.
How, I mean, the sands aren't that warm. He pops out like a very sore, angry, loud thumb.
Yes.
So for people to ignore him, that hurts.
It takes a little doing to actively ignore Red Manuel.
But like,
just ask an older sibling.
It's one of those things where
Red Manuel.
Thank you. It's one of those things where it's like, it's real quiet. And for me, that's those moments where I'm sitting at home and just kind of going, wait, I haven't heard the cat in a while. What did she do? Like, it's just like, it's really, really quiet. And then you go, oh, that's what's missing.
Schrodinger's Red Manuel.
Schrodinger's Red Manuel.
Red Manuel.
And I guess that shoe just never dropped. It was like, oh, or when it did, they all went, nobody say anything.
Well, this is...
speak of the devil and we don't want him.
I mean, talking about Red Manuel,
Red Manuel.
Okay, we're going to need to put a pen in that. Okay. Otherwise, we're not going to get through tonight's discussion.
As a former engineer, you can't give us free will.
So yeah, let's put a pin in that for right now. But in regards to talking about, you know, we were talking about the attire a minute ago, and for somebody who dresses all in red, who very much has a getup, like that to me is indicating somebody who's trying way too hard to get noticed, just like Don Paragon is trying way too hard to be notice me, El Rey.
He has his own musical sting whenever he comes on screen and starts talking. Like, he gets that little trumpet bit, and it's like, that is someone who's trying too hard when they have their own theme music.
Well, And ultimately, it doesn't get him the validation he's craving because they're talking about them, you know, they're talking about wishing he was dead to his face. And then when he orders someone to do something, the person's immediate response is to drop the box that they're carrying and say, no, I'm not listening to you. Mm. And he has to get Don Paragon to pull rank. And Don Paragon doesn't care. He's like, yeah, whatever gets him to shut up. Just do it.
Yeah, it's a whole lot mm-hmm. of mom says I'm in charge.
Yeah, it very much is like a petulant older sibling. So it's interesting looking at this and knowing that this isn't going to get, that this isn't getting him the validation he deserves. There's still a part of me that wants him to have that moment of self-awareness, but I don't know if we're ever going to get it.
You just gave me a terrifying thought.
What?
Something akin to the Gears of War franchise. In the first game, there was a character named Carmine, and this isn't this has no bearing on Red Manuel's fate for the end of the season. This isn't a spoiler or anything. This is just gross speculation. What if he is a really big family of brothers that are all like him? So if in whatever season he ever meets his fate, we end up meeting like Pink Manuel or
Manuel.
Crimson Manuel,
Azul Manuel,
Manuel Azul, something like that.
Or they're all like red and then a name.
Yeah,
Verde Manuel
or Red Jose,
Red yes. Jorge,
Red Hernan.
Oh, I
would
it.
Love that.
We never escape the red family.
It's just a parade, like whenever we get rid of one, and the
Familia place. Roja.
Familia Roja, yeah.
I love it.
Mama Red, Big Boss.
Yes,
Mama Red.
And all characters.
It's like Ma Beagle.
All characters, including Mama Red, same voice actor.
Yeah.
So it's like so it's the Beagle Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm down.
I love that. But the important thing here is that, I mean, the Dandelions are loyal to Toth, but, like, ultimately Don Paragon pulls rank on them, and they have to kind of abandon her. And this is the moment where, again, this is... Toth is the wrong person to cross, because mm-hmm. this is the moment where she decides that she's put her faith in the wrong people, and that she's finally going to do something about that.
Real quick, Eddie Rivas, fun fact, Red Manuel was originally Red Sophia.
What?!
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Sophia is Mama's name now. Yeah. Mama Sophia.
Can he have an older sister?
Pictures... Or it didn't happen.
Oh, that'd be great. I would love to see those initial character sketches. That would be fantastic.
I imagine essentially the same thing, except even the same, like, suit, like, everything, except just get rid of the facial hair. And maybe not as pointed of eyes, but essentially the same design.
Legit.
And we're done.
I love it. I love it. I love it so much. Really quick, before we go any further, I want to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It's the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. We don't have any new comments this week, but guys, go into iTunes and leave those comments, and we will give you a shout-out on next week's show. And, oh, go ahead.
You first.
And if you guys are a part of our international audience, those reviews still count, but we don't have access to them. So if you guys want to leave a review, take a screen cap of it, put in the hashtag RTReviews. We will also give you a shout out because we love you guys. You're great.
And I want to say it really helps us to grow. Another thing that helps us to grow is sharing us with your friends. If you are part of any sort of any RT communities and you're just looking for more people to talk about various shows with, send them our way. And that way we might be able to get some new reviews, some new commenters, some new friends, some new RT Reviews family members, so we can talk about this. I think we're pretty cool to hang out with, so come on by, tell your friends. If you listen together, if you watch together as a group or whatever, make sure everybody's leaving comments, and we're cultivating a great time just for you, the viewer. This is good coffee.
So yeah,
if you have coffee in that cup. I'm surprised
it's vodka anyway.
Ooh! Oh well, you gotta go with tequila for this show, my man.
I don't drink either.
So yes, guys, thank you so much again. We really appreciate you all. So yeah, guys, let's talk about what I, in my opinion, is the emotional crux of this episode, and that's Toth and Scout. Scout's looking out at the window at the big celebration and lamenting that she'll never be a part of a big party like that. When who comes to her rescue? But Toth. Now we could go like beat for beat. And dissect this entire sort of interaction because...
And that's exactly what we're about to do.
Because we don't have that much time.
We don't. But it starts off, like Toth in many regards, her entire arc this season, it starts off in the right place. With Toth's heart being in the right place, making a heartfelt apology. But at the end of the day, and even apologizing for her stubbornness, but at the end of the day... She still wants the nomad, and she still believes that the only way to help her people is by getting El Rey what he's after. And now, what did we all think of this interaction? Because, like I said, for me, this is the core conflict of the episode.
I mean, you kind of nailed it. I mean, there's really no. They made it so black and white in terms of, like, we've been on this journey with Scout and Toth, and we've seen them apart, and they both came to similar conclusions. Yeah, I mean, if Scout had seen what Toth has seen, and we don't know how much Scout knows about her and the Yadala, and if Toth had seen what Scout had seen, you know, we don't know how it would have done. But I hope that we have a Zuko moment a lot sooner than this Zuko moment happened at the end of season two, so let's hope that happens a little bit sooner.
I do think that the best line in this was, if El Rey was going to do something good, he would have done it already. It's been at least 100 years. It's been a very, very long chunk of time with the environment dying around them. Yeah, if he was the kind of person who was going to help them, he would have done it a long time ago. And thinking otherwise is just kind of foolish.
Not necessarily, because you can see it from Toth's point of view, too, is as like looking at it as being like, there's no point in trying to oppose the king because he has all the power. Get him what he wants, and he'll give you something in return. Stacey, what did you think?
Yeah, because up until this point, as far as we know, she has no reason to doubt that he will reward people who are faithful to him. And so the fact that he is the one in control, I mean, he holds all of the power, so far as we know. He is the one at the very top of the pyramid, the only one that you can go to with something like that. So for her to keep faith for that long, I mean, yeah, it's got to get tiring after a while. But also, you've been loyal for so long that it's almost habit at that point, right? Like, why bother starting to think another way so easily?
And again, in a dying world, hope is in short supply. You take it where you can get it, and you don't have hope that you can get the king to do what you want.
You just came up with a box quote. Seriously. In a dying world, hope is in short supply. But in this wasteland, one scarecrow...
will rise.
One scarecrow, one nerd.
One good, one good boy. Future,
two claps.
Love that. Oh no!
You're back.
Okay. I want to pose this question to the table. Is there anything Scout could have said to Toth to change her mind?
No, because that would require Toth to listen.
Yeah, Toth's not ready to listen. I mean, she's proved time and time again that she is not listening to anything other than what she has set in stone in her mind.
Mark?
That's it. I was going to do a dumb answer, but that works. That works a lot better.
Please clap says, one dunderhead.
One dunderhead. Oh! That doesn't fit. Too many syllables.
Two brothers.
And three dandies. I do appreciate the heck out of that. I had something else I was going to say, and my brain just went, bye.
I
remembered. All I had to do was declare that I'd forgotten it. We know, the audience knows, and possibly the Nomad knows if he remembers this, that comment from Papa about, I wanted to use this stone to bring life back to the land. So, who knows? Maybe the Nomad can.
Yep. But again, what I appreciate about this whole thing is that, again, Toth isn't portrayed as being wrong or as being bad for standing her ground in her assessment. Yeah. She brings up the point. What's he going to do? Clap and, like, stop the king that way?
And bring the water back? Well, maybe. The water wheel went somewhere. Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't have any reason to believe that. His powers are making little googly-eyed friends. And that's an adorable power, but it doesn't get you water unless you bring a water bottle to life.
Yeah, and, like, you look at the immense power that's been displayed by El Rey so far and then compare it to that. Yeah, no one's jumping ship to go follow the Nomad with just that as, you know, the base knowledge.
Yeah. And I worry that because Scout locked her in there, when Toth came to set her free, I feel like this is going to cause Toth to sort of double down and be like, I was wrong to choose compassion and try and, you know, to try to to come at this from approach of understanding that got me stabbed in the back. So I feel like it's just going to make her double down.
She hasn't hit the bottom yet. I think we're far from her hitting rock bottom.
Yeah.
And that rock's going to just blink and smile at her when she hits
it. It's going to be one very large rock.
Going to be rock friend, rock bottom friend.
Idaho. I had a question for the table. Do y'all consider hay to still be a living material? Or is it dead grass? Is it grass that has been, like, is it dried?
Is it hay that's already been picked? Or is it hay, like, that's still out in the field?
Something that you would use to make a scarecrow.
Picked, I'd say it's already dead.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's not just hay. It's the scarecrow as an entity. You're not bringing every individual bit of hay to life. You are bringing this entity that is the scarecrow and which is dead.
But
let's just say I've been watching the Undertaker episode a lot lately, and he can't bring dead material back to life.
Ooh.
But the stone can.
Mm.
End game prediction right now: Nomad's not going to be around the entire time. He's going to train another magic user to bring life back to the world and sacrifice himself to do so.
The heroic sacrifice. Yeah,
yeah.
I can see it.
Aww. Stacy.
I don't have to like it, but
But you do have to follow it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and talk about the Nomad a little bit. Unless we have any final thoughts on Toth and Scout.
He's only the main character. I mean, it's only named after him.
The only other thing I want to bring up about that whole interaction is when Scout hugged Toth and seeing her blush. And the moment where Scout almost says, I love you. Like, ugh.
We don't know what she was going to say.
Oh, please.
I mean, lesbians with you.
It was exactly that.
Lost my contact lens.
I'm left-handed.
Anyway,
so yeah, let's talk about the Nomad. He makes his escape. First of all, learning that he's a scarecrow and then having Don Paragon, like, shove fire in his face, like, that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. This guy's a monster. But then he, like, leaves the fire in the cage.
Sky blue, water wet.
He leaves the fire in the cage. And then it's like, okay, you brought this upon yourself. Like, you tripped at the finish line. So he escapes. And I also want to make a quick note about the two dandelions that are guarding him. Mostly because it's just something they make a point about something I've been saying this entire season. Every time Don Paragon uses Spanish, it makes my skin crawl.
Just culturally appropriating Spanish.
Yes! And it makes me so happy that the dandelions are like, hey, this guy sucks, right? Like, it bothers me, right? Like, I'm not the only one.
Hasta luego,
Joe. Oh, God, it makes me so mad.
When he says things like, hasta
luego. He doesn't even go here.
Right, though. Pretty much. And yeah, I'm pretty sure one of them was Caesar, and I can't remember who the other one was, but it's like our animation buddies.
Caesar and Romero? That was for you.
So he manages to make his escape by lighting himself on fire and getting all his water bottle friends to help him out. And
he manages to make his escape by lighting himself on fire. How often
often do you get to say that?
It's a creative way to escape.
They'll never see it coming. But he makes his escape, and as he's running through the city, we get nice audio cues from the entire rest of the season. And we get it from a lot of different places. And he basically has to, you know, basically has to come to the conclusion that you're a protector. And, like, this is the moment where he really kind of finds out who he is, and he kind of accepts that. And I wanted to know, what did you guys think of, like, him taking on this role and being like, okay, yes, this is who I am.
This bit here is why it's my favorite episode of the season. Just this whole little sequence. I don't really have words for it. I just really appreciate when media does things like this. This is the specific combination of events and feels where I'm just like, yeah. Yeah, I love it. Sign me up.
It was a pretty hype moment. Like, that's the only way I can describe it. Although, like, because at first it's like, okay, he's gonna run off and regroup again. I was like, no. No, it's better than that. And then we've got our turning point.
Yeah.
Very, very much a get hype moment. I'm sort of at the end of a line of a lot of great comments, so yeah.
Don Paragon brings it up at the start when he's taunting the Nomad. He's like, we all know you're more the type to run away than to actually fight. And this is the Nomad turning around and going, no more running. I always appreciate no more running moments in my shows.
Did you see did anyone get a chance to read the endorsements on the poster for the Don? They were all anonymous, and it's like, well, he sure is a guy.
I need a print of that.
Please Clap brings up a good point. The quotes from the flashback confirm that that was a memory and not mm-hmm. just something for us.
Not
and
just so something for our benefit.
He yeah. knows who he is.
He's got that knowledge back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's yeah. what I took away from that,
remembers
too.
Papa and Melinda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes me so, just... Oh, I hope we get more flashback sequences later on down the line. But anyway, so we cut to the party, and we see some familiar faces, including the sheriff who locked himself in jail, and in a sense got himself locked in jail again.
The deputy.
Yes, he was a deputy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to see a lot of familiar faces, and that was really fun, getting to see people from, like, Bliss Hill and things like that. This is such a great moment because, again, Don Paragon knocks Red Manuel down a peg, and he's getting ready to present the Nomad, realizes the Nomad escaped, and just as they're getting ready to launch a search, the Nomad barges in riding a pinata.
Now, a full Viva Pinata moment here.
Yeah. I was going to go say Fortnite, but I was real sad that it just had regular eyes. I was really wishing that the eyes would have been in a random place on the body.
Like just right straight in the middle of the head.
Yeah, and it didn't have, like, normal pinata attributes, but it had critter attributes, and they were, like, it's on its chest. And it still kind of rode like it, but it still had two legs and the dangly arms.
You just had these arms and legs.
Terrifying creature.
Arms and legs on the bottom of its arms and legs, so yeah. It's just skittering.
Yeah.
Okay, I need fan art or a GIF or something ridiculous of this. Like, I need it in my life. I need this horror show. Please give it to me.
So, again, the Nomad has stopped running and has come into the party to save the day, to protect most likely Scout, but also to protect just the people from Don Paragon, everybody he's met along the way. I want to know, though, guys, he makes this grand entrance on a horse pinata. What pinata would you use to crash a party?
Spider-Man.
Those are two very different
similar
answers.
Though.
Dude, come here.
Take off the mask. We don't know who Spider-Man is. Could be Shrek.
It is a dual Shrek no, Spider-Man
but,
pinata.
But legitimately, probably Hulk Hogan.
I'd still go with Spider-Man.
I can't. What?
I wish that I came up on that joke by myself, but it was actually Somebody who once told me that.
No. Did they also tell you something about the world? It's gonna it's
looking kind of dumb. Anyway.
Let us know in the comments below what pinata you guys would use.
Beast Wars fan says Batman and Jazz says dragon pinata. Ooh. And Becca Lee says one of the person whose party I'm crashing.
Yay!
You want to talk about a power move?
That would be a power move.
Excellent, excellent. Ooh, come in riding an El Toro. An El Toro pinata.
I don't think El Toro would allow those.
Well, Toro's a biped. So he'd just be like, with his, like,
so
it'd be
Shrek.
Like Yzma riding Krunk.
You say that like it's a bad thing. Krunk. A Krunk pinata.
Yes.
I find all of these answers acceptable.
By all accounts, it doesn't make any sense.
Do we have any final thoughts on this episode before we start delving into some predictions?
I want a Spider-Man pinata.
For your birthday next year, for sure.
We're a little hung up on the pinatas now.
A little, yeah, thank you for that.
It's in the fiesta.
Sticks out a little bit.
Any final thoughts?
Yeah.
Just pinatas.
So much.
Yes.
Shrek pinatas. All right, folks, let's go ahead and delve into some predictions.
And now, it's like the Nomad's Arms.
Doesn't have to necessarily be for what's going to immediately happen. I'm down with long-term predictions. And like I said earlier, I think this is going to cause Toth to double down. And I absolutely think that that's where we're going, is that this is going to create a fracture in their relationship. And now, like they did at the beginning of the season, Scout and her are on very different paths now, and there's no going back.
I'm leaning on slightly different characters from my long-term predictions, but I would not be surprised to see the champion come back.
Ooh!
Nobody, no death, nobody, no death, nobody, no death. And I'd be willing to bet that Toro is going to be our main villain of our next season. And that our next season will probably be 18 episodes.
Here's hoping. Stacey?
All right, I'm going to go back to my grasping at straws. Because there was a comment that
sentient straws or non-sentient straws?
No, both. Depends on the day. There was a line early on in the episode between the dandelions, and I'm sure it was just a throwaway line, but I'm latching on to it, where one of them starts waxing poetic, and they're like, oh, who taught you how to... Knowledge is power. It's all going to come back to knowledge, which is why our little scout who has all of this knowledge is going to start spreading it around nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then as more people learn, they will understand that this is not acceptable.
I rather like that. That's perfect.
Not just because he's in chat, but Santi, the true hero of nowhere.
Santi is just so complete. He does not have two cares to rub together about anything, and I love it.
Tenth situation, I'll give my friend's masseuse business a shout out. I'm Santi.
I was thinking Null. Null is the one who doesn't have... No, Santi's great.
He's the one that doesn't want to wish for anything anymore. Mark, any long-term predictions?
Well, I've given a couple of bad ones, but I have a short-term prediction.
Sure.
That next week, we're going to be joined by a very special guest. Ooh. By the name of Eddie Rivas. Woo! And he's already been telling me some stuff, fun production stories that he's going to be sharing with all of us next week, right here on AfterBuzz TV Animation.
I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. The only other prediction I have is that Red Manuel is going to give up this life.
Shut up, Red Manuel.
And start a restaurant. Named after himself.
Pretty good margaritas.
If anyone ever eats there, take a picture.
We did.
It's in Austin. Did you?
We did.
No, it's a chain, apparently.
It's a what?
Yeah, apparently there's one here. Yeah.
I know where we're going at your finale.
Yeah. Where?
Having a meetup at Manuel.
All right, everybody, thank you guys so much for watching. Katie, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is Kiaxet. If you like reaction videos for these episodes and other Rooster Teeth properties, they all live on that YouTube channel as well as my Overwatch podcast, On the Point.
Guys, I'm Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. You can also find me over at Twitch at InventoryFullPT, where we talk games and play games. I'll be playing something this week.
I'm going to be playing something, too. I'm probably going to play a little bit more Spider-Man tomorrow, so make sure to check us out at InventoryFullPT. Also, check out a podcast that I started with my wife. It's called Party of Two. We're looking for a party of two. It's a Parks podcast. This most recent weekend, we talked about our trip to Halloween Time at Disney and our trip to the Lamplight Lounge that didn't go according to plan. So make sure to check that out. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. And follow me at Mark Bidonica because I'm weird like that. I make videos of our guests dabbing to an air horn version of the No Matter Nowhere theme.
That is art. Yeah. That is art. Mark.
Somewhere.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I do a Lost Retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. Check that out on iTunes and Podbean. Follow that on Twitter and Instagram at No Love Lost Pod. Be sure to follow the whole team here at the Rooster Team. Guys, again, thank you so, so much for watching. We will see you all next time.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Shut up, Red Manuel.